The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. I'm so glad that you have joined us today to study the life of Jesus, the Sermon of the Plain, as we continue this journey through the Gospel of Luke. We are a community of Jesus apprentices that we are trying to be like Jesus, loving like Jesus, and serving like Jesus. And the Sermon of the Plain talks about how to be like God, being merciful, how to be like Jesus. It is not easy, but is the way that we need to walk along with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus and the Father. As you know, we have a model for the community of Jesus apprentices. And the model is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the way that we will be able to accomplish our goal as community, based on love. Loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. We are on our 14th week of this journey, and I praise God that God has given health, wisdom, strength for us to be here for 14 weeks. Praise to be to God. And we have a memory verse that is powerful and profound, and today we'll be reflecting upon this memory verse. And the memory verse is from Luke 6:45. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Well, I will not comment a lot about it because, well, we're studying today this verse. By the way, what I want to highlight is God is interested. His concern with your heart, the source, the spring of your soul. And is there that we need to focus? Is there that we need to surrender? Is our hearts, the feelings, the inclinations, the motives that we need to pay attention to? And the only way to change the heart is through the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. You can join hands with Him, but we cannot ourselves do such transformation. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. For this reason, we need to come before God every single day, to walk with Him, to have a fellowship with Him, to have a connection, and that way, we will be able to be more like Jesus Christ. Every time we come before God, every time we come to surrender, to have this connection, this fellowship, we have the assurance that God is waiting for us and He's aiming to bless us with His mercy and grace. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most." Come to the Lord. Come before Him and let Him take care of you, transform you. So at this moment, I want to give you the opportunity to position yourself before God. I want to give you an opportunity for you to introduce yourself before the throne of grace, to ask the Holy Spirit. I want to give you 1 minute. 1 minute for you to connect with God, to pray with Him. And after that, we'll come back and study verse 45 of Luke chapter 6. But take this moment, this opportunity, to position yourself before God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings, your care, your salvation, your provisions. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for life. Thank you for this opportunity that we have to get together, to reflect upon you and to be more like you. Help our journey today, Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts and soul. So, Lord, come to us and work in a mighty way. Enlighten us as we reflect on verse 45. Help us to understand your desire and will for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are studying the Sermon of the Plain. This Sermon of the Plain has been the subject of our study for the last few weeks, and we are coming to a conclusion, and probably this week, by God's grace, we'll finish the Sermon of the Plain. On the Sermon of the Plain, we are seeing who God is, what His kingdom is all about, and how should we, as followers of Jesus, apprentices of Jesus, as citizens of the kingdom of God, how should we behave, how should we relate to people, how should we connect with God? It is a powerful way. It's more than a relational, or it's more than Jesus' powerful teaching or radical teaching. It's God's expectation for the citizens of the kingdom, for His apprentices. And a kingdom that is based in love and mercy, because our God is love and mercy. And because we are citizens of this kingdom, we have submit and decided to be part of this kingdom through Jesus Christ. And because we were created in accordance to the image and likeness of God, we should behave, operate based on love and mercy. This love and mercy will demonstrate its power and express itself as we love those that think different from us, that oppose us, those that hate us. And here we have four, let's say, descriptions of hate or opposition, four descriptions of enemy: those that hate us, those that exclude us, those that curse us, and those that lie about us, mock us. So even though they are doing that, because we operate on love, based on love, mercy, and grace, we'll offer them love, a love that is principle. We'll offer them good deeds. We'll offer them blessings in prayer. And because we operate based on love, will be merciful to people's faults, will be merciful not to rely on or stick on their flaws, and will be merciful not condemn them to a label and say, yeah, you're a liar, and imprisonate them to that label, or I don't believe you because you're a liar. No, because we're merciful, we'll give, we'll forgive, release them. And now Jesus is explaining through illustrations and parables this way of love and mercy. And he illustrates with a few illustrations. The first one, the blind man leading another blind. Then the relationship between the teacher and the master. Then he talks about the log, right? When I don't have mercy is like I having a log in my eyes. And yesterday we reflect a little bit about two ideas or two illustrations, the illustration of the tree and its fruits, and the illustration of the grapes or the vines, right, and the figs or the fruits and the trees. And here it's beautiful because you see those verses 43, 44, and 45, they are part of a segment, let's say. And Jesus gives two illustrations and one application. And today we're studying the application. And what we see here is that Jesus, he parts from the know to the unknow. Jesus was a master teacher. He could teach in a powerful way. It is very interesting because, let's say, today on modern science, they recognize that adults, they learn different from children. Children are able to learn from nothing, let's say, from having no experience. They can learn based on new discoveries, right? Based on letters and numbers. And it's so exciting for me to see Christopher in special going through this process from not knowing to get to know. But adults, they learn differently. They learn by comparison, association of previous knowledge and previous experience. Adults, they don't usually learn from nothing. Like kids, they learn based on information, knowledge that they have, experience that they have already. And there's a science for that, andragogy, right? The learning or the teaching of adults. So that says that we need to, in order to teach a new concept, as we are teaching adults, we need to relate to concepts or information or experience they have already. And what Jesus is doing here, he's presenting things that people know. Oh, the tree, yes, a good tree. Yes, a good fruit. And even seems like a silly teaching. Why? Like, doesn't need too much brain to make this point. And remember, we are not talking about here an isolated event, right? Or one season that a tree didn't give good fruits. What we're talking or discussing here, it's a lifetime. It's a period of time. After some seasons, you can identify if a tree is good based on the good fruits that they bring, or if a tree is bad based on the bad fruits that they bring. So we're not talking about isolated events. We're talking about a pattern, a period of time. And that's common knowledge. And common knowledge for that people, that they're farmers and they live for that. Even today, if you visit the land of Israel, you see that the Galilee is where you have the fruits. You have the most farmers there because there's water, there's life, and Jesus is there. So he's talking, and maybe there's a fig tree not far from him, and there is a wine or a vine there not far from him. And he's teaching point out the illustrations that they are seeing. Hey, you see this tree here? It's a good tree, gives good fruits, and we have been eating from this tree for many years. Oh, you see this bush, right? Yeah, this bush cannot give figs. Jesus is relating to that image to something that people are familiar with in order to make his application. And his application comes now with verse 45. And his application is different from the emphasis that the religious group and people had at the time. And somehow, it's still today. His application is different from what church, what society expects from people. What is his application? Let's go to verse 45. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart. And an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Because they have accepted the previous concept, somehow they need to accept this concept. Where now Jesus is not talking about trees, he's talking about people. And yesterday I suggest the interpretation of, instead of reading a good tree, read a merciful tree. Therefore, I would recommend us to read these verses through the lens of mercy. Because remember, the heart, in my humble opinion, of the Sermon of the Plain on this part is verse 36 of Luke 6. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. So, a good person or a merciful person produce good things, produce merciful things. So a merciful person will produce love for the enemy. A merciful person will produce good things for to the enemy. A merciful person will produce or bless the enemy. And a merciful person will pray for the enemy. A merciful person would not judge people. So Jesus is connecting here the previous illustration with people. And since we read a good person, and an evil person produce evil things. So a person that is not merciful, a person that is not based on God's kingdom principle of love, therefore mercy, will produce evil things, unmerciful things. So a person that doesn't have a merciful heart will produce hate, exclusion, segregation, will produce curse, will produce lies, mocking. The person that doesn't have a merciful soul will produce judgment. So Jesus is connecting somehow what he presented before comes to a conclusion. So good is not only for those that keep the laws. Good is those that flow from the heart. And now Jesus points here a very and crucial aspect. He connects the fruit to the heart. I know sometimes when we refer to heart today, we refer heart as a biological organ that pumps blood. My heart's not working properly. But also, usually we refer heart as a sense of our feelings. Oh, I have a broken heart. But if we had to reflect upon what Luke wrote about heart, maybe we would have a different perspective. And that's the exercise that I want to encourage you and encourage the apprentice of Jesus to take. We don't come to the Bible with the lens and with our perspective of the 21st century, and implying the meaning of the words based what they mean for us today. We need to understand there's a gap of time, gap of culture, gap of many aspects that needs to take into consideration. So just not referring to the meaning that we have in mind to the things today, but try to go back and say what heart meant to the people at the time. And a simple exercise could start with a book, a concordance, where you can see the words in Luke, let's say, all the Bible verses that Luke talks about heart, and read through them and say, okay, what is the idea here? And what you realize if you read all the verses that Luke talks about heart, that the heart is the center of the motivation, of the inclination, is where everything flows, is the source, not only of feelings, but of action, thoughts, deeds, and words. The heart in the Gospel of Luke is about the center of someone's life, is the being of the person, what the person really is, the being. And from the being, and if we go to Matthew or Mark, we can see from the being comes evil things, comes hate, comes from this heart, comes sinful thoughts, and the Bible talks more and more about that. And Luke is talking here about the essence of a person. You see, people at the time, they were not so concerned about the essence of the people. They were concerned more about the behavior of the people. They were concerning with the practice. And Jesus is calling out the concept of hypocrite, right? It's not only what you do, but it's what you are. You can learn to behave properly, but that doesn't mean that you have changed the heart. And after a lifetime, you cannot wear the mask all the time. And remember, hypocrite in the time of Jesus referred to those that play a role on the Roman theater, right? On the plays, wearing a mask is the actor, the actress. So Jesus say, be through you. Yeah, and throughout your life, you see. And as Jesus is pointing out those aspects, I can see the Pharisees being very uncomfortable because their teachings, their life created segregation, exclusion, judgment. And Jesus is saying, that is not a good thing. And my question for you is, how's your heart? Or sometimes where we refer our soul. What is coming out of that? What are the fruits that are producing from not just one isolated action, right? We are so experts to crucify people for one moment, one event. And it's looked like 30 years of good deeds can be destroyed for one single mistake. That comes from a heart that is not merciful. Look the full picture. look the full picture. And Jesus is calling out about the heart, the motivation, the inclination, the source. And it's interesting here because in the Gospel of Luke, there's another aspect that's very interesting related to the last part of the verse 45. What you say flows from what is your heart. You see, Luke is not focusing on deeds. He's focusing on words. And words play here very important aspect to Luke up to this point. You see, sometimes we say, oh, doesn't matter what the person says. Let's see what he does. But for Luke, what he says is important. And since the beginning, what people said showed their heart or their true colors. Is Zechariah that said to the angel, no, that's not possible that my wife will not have a child. That saying showed the state of his heart. Well, is the heart, is the saying of Mary, is the saying of Elizabeth showing a life of merciful, a merciful heart, a life that represents the Holy Spirit in their life, is John the Baptist. So the saying is important. And what are people saying and referring to here? What Jesus is focusing on is in the essence of the being. In your being, are you merciful? No. No one is. And that's the reality. Because of sin, no one is. We have a different nature. Her nature is about hate, exclusion, is about mocking, is about cursing, is about lie. But as we submit to Jesus Christ, as we become an apprentice of Jesus, a follower of Jesus, we are invited to go through a transformational journey where we'll be aligned with the original plan and aligned with Jesus Christ himself. So it's a daily process. And what is Jesus calling us out here is more important than the appearance. The outside is the inside. You can learn how not to lose your temper and it not explode. And I praise God because we need to do that. But Jesus more concerned with you're losing your temper is with your temper itself inside of you. And he's inviting us because we belong to him. If we accept him as our Lord and Savior, say, give me your temper. Give me your feelings and thoughts. And we shoot you. It's not about fighting more and more. It's not about for us trying to overcome. It's about surrendering. Lord, I am yours. And because I'm yours, these impure thoughts belong to you. Take it, transform it, is a question of surrender. That's love your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. You're surrendering everything. But for us, it's easier to see the appearance. Oh, is that person wearing makeup or jewelry? Or it starts a list of things, what you do and not do. And according to the community that you are, you say, okay, if I want to look good, I need to behave in this way. But that doesn't mean that we are that way. But God, what Jesus is trying to say to us here, what matters is their heart. It's like he's bringing us back to Psalm 139. Where probably David wrote the following, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. It's about what David, again, on Psalm 51, he prays to God, saying, verse 10, Verse 10, Psalm 51, 10. Create in me a clean heart, God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. God is concerned about the being, the essence, not just the outside. And here comes a very important difference between religious life and kingdom life. Religious life usually focus on the outside, in the appearance. But the kingdom life focus on the inside. So my question to you is, what is inside of you? And I ask this question not pointing any fingers or bringing guilt or shame. I'm asking your question as a reflective question for you to consider so you may surrender. This question is about an invitation for you to surrender. How is things inside? And I tell you, I need to surrender. And so surrender every day, every moment. Because I need to be transformed. God has been working with me for many years, but there's many years ahead, many transformations to happen. Because transformation is not an event, it's a process. It's a lifelong transformational journey. And God is inviting you to transform. Pastor, how I know my heart? What will be natural to you? To hate? To exclude? To mock? To curse or lie? Is natural to you to judge, to label people, to appreciate them on that label or to the action that person has done? Well, if those are some characteristics, God is saying to us, you need a new heart. And the only way is through the power of the Holy Spirit. For sure, we need to join hands with Him, but it's through Him, His will, His power. And that is possible. It's about surrender every single day. I have this motivation, I have this feeling, I have these thoughts. Lord, that is not aligned with a merciful God that I have. That's not aligned with the merciful Jesus Christ. So Lord, I surrender to you. Help me to go against my own nature, on my own heart. How is your heart? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for your invitation, your merciful invitation, for us to become more like you. Bless us, Lord. Bless us to surrender every single day. Bless us to focus on the inside. Bless us to focus on really matters for the kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to the questions for reflection, and here they are. What is in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? And what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? Well, may God bless you. Tomorrow we'll start the journey towards the closing thoughts and words of Jesus Christ about the Sermon of the Plain. And I pray that you'll be joining us. And I pray that you'll be surrendered to God every single day. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.